Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The message this day is based upon the Old Testament reading in which we hear, "So you, Son of Man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me." Here is our text. I must say, I'm not too sure I enjoy being this high up. I am very, very impressed with the church the architecture and the design of the church. And I'm not sure how to do this, turning back and forth and sideways. We shall see what happens. 20 years ago, while playing basketball at the Y, and I do have to emphasize 20 years ago, I was able at that time to still play basketball. One of the guys that I was playing basketball with corrected one of the other guys on the court for his language, for his choice of words. And the self-proclaimed pastor then turned to me and says, "I had to do that. I had to correct him. Otherwise, his sin would be on me. His blood would be on me." He was correct and misguided on that thought. He's going to this text. He's going back to referring to this text about warning those about when God gives us his word to warn the wicked. He's going back to this text and saying that he had to do that. He had to speak up. And it's true. It would be a sin for you and for me not to speak up against evil. When we see evil or sin in our midst, it would be wrong for us to let it go by as if to say it was nothing serious, there's nothing wrong. But we have to understand why. Why does God want us to speak up against evil? Well, it's for the salvation of the soul. For you and I, you can speak out against evil. There's those who speak out against evil in order that it might be stopped. They want it to completely stop. We don't want any wrongdoing. We don't want anything harmful going on around us. But the church, the Christian, has a different attitude. It has the attitude of God. For when we speak against evil, we do it for the salvation of their souls. Now, I have to explain that. For whenever you and I speak out against evil, we do so with the understanding that we do it with the opportunity to announce God's forgiveness. We speak out against evil in order to hopefully that those who will listen will turn away from their sin and turn away from their evil and repent. And therefore, you and I can say to them, your sins are forgiven. Your sins, you're no longer under the judgment of God's wrath. But you're saved. You are forgiven in Christ Jesus. It's an opportunity to announce that Christ's holy life covers our sinful life. To announce that Christ's death paid for the sins of the world. And to announce that Christ's resurrection brought us life eternal. It's an opportunity for us to say and to speak of the love of God for the person. For we know how serious sin is. The wages of sin is death. And there's nothing, and that's not to be taken lightly. For if we do not speak up against evil, we oftentimes say that we try to minimize it. We say there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing dangerous about it. But you and I know the dangers of our sins. The wages of sin is death. But again, we speak in order that a person might be drawn to repentance. And there's much to speak about. There's much evil to speak against in this world. There's no lack of it. We live in a state in which the state desires to become known as the leader in Planned Parenthood. We need to speak up against such evil that says that abortion is just birth control. We have to speak up against evil in this world, too, that changes the definition of marriage and definitions of family. We speak out against such evil because it is dangerous. We speak out against such dangers as gossiping. Even if it's just from the lips or at the fingertips or on the computer keyboard. We speak out against such evil. Again, our desire is that it may be stopped. But again, with a thought that we may have the opportunity to announce God's grace and forgiveness. That friend was mistaken in what he had done, correcting a fellow man on the basketball court. He was mistaken in this way. He was thinking only of himself. He was only thinking about protecting himself. He was thinking about, I don't want to be under God's judgment. He didn't really care about the other man's actions or soul, but he was concerned about how it was going to affect him, how he was going to face God. He had no thought of the other guy. Now, that's true for us oftentimes, too. We find that we are reluctant to speak up. Our sinful nature sometimes just is so strong that we don't speak up. Now, there is, granted, I have to grant this, that there is wisdom in speaking up. I mean, if you and I corrected everybody every time they sinned, I mean, we would be nonstop. And we come off pretty self-righteous. But in wisdom, too, when it's time to speak up, we find that sometimes we're reluctant. We begrudge the idea of having to speak up and say something. But we still do. We still do speak up. God, the Holy Spirit, works in our hearts and our voices, moves us to speak up, even when we don't want to, even when we're begrudging it. That's the faith God's given to us, the faith that we have in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, because God does desire that the wicked turn from their way and come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And so there are times when we aren't so much in love and care for that person, but we do speak up. We do say something. We have to give the credit to God and the glory to God for that. You see, we're blessed with the Holy Spirit and faith. We're blessed so that when we hear God's word and when we hear that warning, this wages of sin is death, and when we hear that warning that our own sinfulness is a danger to us, we turn to Christ Jesus in repentance. We turn to Him for grace and forgiveness. We go running to Him for the strength to live a God-pleasing life. We heed the warning. We heed the warning. Again, all glory be to God and the Holy Spirit that moves our hearts to listen. Because it is very frustrating to speak up against evil and the other side does not listen. And the other side does not hear. And the other side does not repent. We keep on speaking, knowing that that is their sin, not our sin. That is their sin, and that they're under the judgment of God in that case. My friend, that self-proclaimed pastor, he was a character. He was a character, but he was a danger to his people. He was a self-proclaimed pastor who did not believe in the Trinity. He did not believe that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are separate. And therefore, as he instructed his people, he was leading them away from Christ Jesus and endangering their souls. I've talked to some people who have been attracted to his teachings and teaching to his church, and I've explained that to them, the dangers. And he knows how I stand on this. And I hope that someday, too, that again, that we have an opportunity to talk and to share with him once again the truth about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That hopefully that he might turn and preach the truth. So we pray. We pray for those who won't listen. We pray that their hearts and ears do open, that they do listen, and that they do turn to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are saved. And we continue to pray for those around us who do listen to the Word of God, who listen and turn from their stories, turning from their sin, grabbing hold and clinging to the grace of God, to that good and gracious Savior of us all. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.